Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Listen, Donald does well with voters who have relatively low information, who are not that engaged, and who are angry, and they see him as an angry voice. Where we are beating him is when voters get more engaged and they get more informed. When they inform themselves, they...
Up already with Ted Cruz. I'm going to take a one-way cruise to Cuba. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
I am so tired of watching a casket on the screens. I'm ready to scream. I feel like it's a Stalinist show funeral. Am I supposed to genuflect to a casket on a screen all day? Did I know Nancy Reagan? What is this about? This country has become increasingly stupid. A whole day now, a casket on a stand with people you don't even remember standing up and giving speeches just to have one more second in the sun. Another 10-second dance in the sun. Am I wrong? Okay, don't call me on it because you'll probably get mad at me. You know, I got to tell you something. I've had a week enough of this with the debates and the stupid questions and the whole thing is getting to me. Everyone wants to grandstand and now there's a funeral. It's Rock and Roll Friday. Can I have some rock and roll? It's open mic to Mike Friday. Which topic of the week sticks in your mind is the most important? Let me give you a review while we're digging through the archives for the reviewer here. Here, show ideas, flashback, Monday. All right. Monday, Romney said Trump is playing the American public for suckers. Romney is gone already. No one remembers him. Tuesday, Sanders said black people are being abused by white police officers. No one remembers Sanders. Sanders looks like an old Dustin Hoffman playing a communist. Wednesday, Trump giving the infomercial at Mar-a-Lago and the water and the steak and the magazine. That was funny. Thursday, Trump says, I think Islam hates us. Today he backtracks and says some of them hate us. Yesterday, Ted Cruz says Donald Trump's voters have relatively low information and are not that engaged. And I was surprised Trump didn't eat him alive last night on that. But apparently there's been a deal made behind the scenes. Finally, they're all getting along. They worked out who gets what if he wins. And that's all. You know, today I got to tell you. What? Hold on a minute. Wait a minute. You know what? I read that thing about Ted Cruz with the snakes and the Pentecostal on Drudge. I'm starting to talk in tongues listening to these debates. That's why I played La Bamba with Richie Valens. At least I understand it. But, you know, I got to say this. Today, you know, is my last day in Florida. I'm going to be flying home into the storm tomorrow. So already the caskets are flying in my brain. Why I'm flying in a rainstorm, I don't know, but I'm flying in a rainstorm. I could wait till the storms are over, but no, I'm flying in a storm. Why? I don't know. Lashing, hurricane, and flying in. For no reason. What am I going from beautiful weather to hurricane? Because it's set, okay? I could stay, but I'm not going to stay. I'm going to go home. So today, this morning, took the bike ride to town, and I go to a little corny shop. It's a beachside little town, and I usually, either I buy those corny cushions that your grandmother used to have in the house. I can't even repeat some of them. You know, with the, like, embroidered with stupid sayings. I found them cute. I reached the point where I find even corny cushions cute. So now I found corny signs in another store that were cute. So one I bought to take home, which was this, I was weird before weird was cool. That's me. So you gotta forgive me for not getting too involved in Nancy Reagan's funeral on TV all day. Because I was weird before weird was cool. I don't care. I really don't care. Why should I care? Why am I going through, why is the whole country coming? And you know, the crocodile tears, all they want to do is like, I was watching a documentary last night on Stalin. I'm not saying that this is about Stalin, but they all had these show trials, then they had show funerals. This seems like a show funeral to me. And by the way, she orchestrated the whole funeral herself. She wrote the whole script. Couldn't it be a little private if she was such a demure, dignified woman, as we're all hearing? Why didn't she just have a quiet little funeral somewhere for family only? Why does it have to be the whole world again, remembering this? Most of the people listening to the show don't know who she is. That's all. So let's have a little rock and roll. You're open to call me at 855-472-82. Let me see what I want to hear. I'm going to give you the list, the playlist for Rock and Roll Friday, March 11, 2016. A Teenager in Love, Dion and the Belmonts. Raise your hand if you want to hear that. Can't We Be Sweethearts, the Cleftones. I went to Jamaica High School with them. Come Go With Me, the Del Vikings. Come Softly to Me, the Fleetwoods. Any My Love, the Teen Queens. Little Darlin', the Diamonds. Peggy Sue by Buddy Holly. Sea Cruise by Frankie Ford. The Shabop song, which I love, I Only Have Eyes for You. The Flamingos, because that reminds me of Love by the Sewer Plant. Then we got Speedo by the Cadillacs. I love that because I used to be a great dancer. Cleftones, who wrote the Book of Love. The Dells, Oh What a Night. The Shirelles, Dedicated to the One I Love. And finally, the Regents, Barbara Ann. So raise your hands on the song you want to hear. I'm going to just pick one out of the air on the Savage Nation. I don't know which one. Guys, you roll the roulette wheel and play a song for the listeners. I feel a depression coming on. The week is coming. Now, turn it off. I don't want to hear it. I feel a depression. It's like a headache about the... This is, you know, like people can feel a headache coming on about the clamp on your head? I feel a depression about to come on. I'm getting so fed up with the media, and I'm in the media. So therefore, I'm fed up with myself. That's the problem. I'm part of the problem, not part of the solution. And yet, if I were leaving the media and I would no longer be part of the solution or the problem, I'd be nobody like you. So therefore, I have to stay here and continue to be part of the problem while complaining about being part of the problem. Do you understand the conundrum I'm in? So let me talk about something fundamentally more interesting than all of this stuff. And we will get to the news and the this and the that. I want to turn the clock back. So last week, I was on a ship, a private ship, and I went through the British Virgin Islands. First, we started in St. Thomas, which I had been at 25 years ago. It's typical port city, nothing to see there. But the British Virgin Islands are pretty, kind of pristine, beautiful, you know. But nevertheless, so in St. Thomas, I remember getting off the boat, getting off the airplane, getting in a taxi. And there was a black guy with a cross who was a taxi driver. I said, is there a synagogue in this town, a Jewish temple, with a sand floor? He said, yeah, man. He says, yes, I used to work there, you know, this and I was a contractor. So he said, let me take you there. So I made everyone go with me. Then eventually everyone loved it because it's a historically interesting thing to see. And I learned something. So we went in the place up on a hill in the old port district, and I learned a lot about religion. And I learned that this is one of the earliest Jewish houses of worship in the Western Hemisphere, which was astounding. Jews first settled in the Virgin Islands in 1655, when it was ruled by Denmark, no less. And they were mainly businessmen who traded in sugarcane, rum, and molasses. And so in 1750, the Jews buy a cemetery, talking about Nancy Reagan. I don't think she's a Jew, but... And they founded the congregation in 1796. Now, the Danes have always been extremely tolerant and liberal, by the way. It's important for you to know. And there's a political element to this. That's a beautiful thing, to be tolerant and liberal with people who you let into your country who are also tolerant and liberal. But when you let people in who want to destroy you or convert you, then your liberalism and your tolerance has to come to a new understanding. You understand what's going on here? Everything's political to me. From a grain of sand to the constellations above me, I see politics. All right, so the Jews build this old synagogue in St. Thomas in the Virgin Islands. Now, why do they put sand on the floor? I couldn't believe the woman explained it to me. The sand on the floor is symbolic of the desert through which Moses and the children of Israel wandered for 40 years, according to one legend. But there's another explanation that makes more sense to me, and it has to do with the fact that during the Spanish Inquisition, when Catholic Spain persecuted all other religions, does that sound familiar to you? When Catholic Spain persecuted all other religions and forcibly converted the Jews to Catholicism, Jews who opted to practice Judaism, which was an offense punishable by death, they had to practice their religion of Judaism in total secrecy. So the Jewish people met in cellars of their homes, and they put sand on the floor to muffle the sounds of their prayer. Can you believe this? And you know, it reminded me of conservatives today who have to act like the Muranos of ancient times, who had to practice their religion in private in order to not be persecuted by the overlords of the dominant persecuting religion. That's exactly what conservatives are living through today. The liberals are so out of control. so mean-faced, so Hitlerian, so dictatorial, that if you dare say in a workplace you're a conservative, they crucify you. They crucify you and you know it. And you're punished and you know it. That's why I told the lady caller to the show yesterday, don't even discuss politics at work because they're looking to set you up to crucify you. And I said to you in a passing reference, be like the Muranos of Spain and Portugal who practice their Jewish religion in secrecy. That's what I said to a conservative caller. And I wanted to follow up today with a little erudite discussion of one of the oldest synagogues in the Western Hemisphere in St. Thomas in the Virgin Islands. And so now, as we take your calls, 855-407-28, there's nothing you can call me on with this. Nothing at all. But it's an interesting thing because it's funeral, and shit, the funeral with her and the casket. I thought it was a perfect mix. So play a little of rock and roll, as they call 855, not La Bamba. Play Deo by him, whatever it is, the left-wing fanatic who hates everyone in America, except people who sound like him. I forget his name. You know, all of these guys I grew up liking, I found out they hate me. All of these actors and singers who I thought were nice guys, they had a good PR agent and a nice... It turns out that Obama has unleashed a hatred in them like a... That was under the surface. They started spewing a hatred I had never believed could exist inside of them, including Mr. Deo. Play Deo, take a break, come back. Here I am, Michael Savage. Be here.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. Turn this off, too. I don't like it, any of it. I don't like the news. I don't like anyone running for office. I don't like any of it. I'm tired of the whole scene. Look at this. Government-funded website teaches migrants how to have sex in 13 different languages. Look how psychotically sick the liberals are in Germany. Look how demented they are. They're giving Africans and Middle Easterners cartoons on how to have sex with white women. I'm not making it up. I made it up. I throw up. A website. Graphic cartoon depictions of dark-skinned men having sex with white women in Germany's welcoming culture towards migrants. I never saw anything like this. Available in 13 languages, including Arabic and Turkish, is funded by as the Federal Ministry for Health. You know what that is? It's an oxymoron in Germany. It's been taken over by the deviants a long time ago. Ministry of Health. Ministry of Perversion. Many of the issues dealt with by this site are explained to German children while they're at school in sex education classes. Oh, my God. The text, audio files, and pictures cover everything from anal sex to abortion, divorce, and having sex with virgins. The website even gives advice to migrant women on how to get involved with the sex trade, giving tips, including asking the customer to pay first and to tell girlfriends what you're up to. If I made this up, I would be a sick man. I'm not making it up. Liberalism, the mental disorder, has so permeated the popular culture that if you turn on television today in the United States of America, like a show like Conan, which I really have never watched, he has a sicko on there. First, he has the psychopath CK, whatever his name is, CK Jerky, a piece of meat jerky hanging in a butcher shop, has more intelligence than Louis CK. This piece of meat jerky with a dirty mouth became famous on Howard Stern, another paragon of humanity. Now he gets up and compares Trump to Hitler the other day. So now a psycho girl, I don't know her name, puts on a Hitler costume and goes on Conan and imitates Trump. Can anyone listening to this show tell me what it is about Trump that reminds them of Hitler? Because I can't quite follow it, especially since Trump has two Jewish grandchildren. Do you realize how sick these people are with their hatred? Do you understand how mentally deranged they are that they're saving all of their animosity for a candidate who they don't like because of his politics, and they have more vitriol towards him than they have shown towards ISIS, which rapes, kidnaps, murders, and sells girls into slavery, in addition to setting people on fire while they're alive? Do you understand what I mean by we need a cultural cleansing in America? A total cleansing. The mental hospitals have to be reopened and the comedy clubs closed down. The TV shows have to be cleansed of this sickness for the country to heal. That's right, you heard me. That's how I feel. Light, I do have time to talk again now. No, it's 10 seconds already. That opens up 43 lines at 855-407-282. Now I have one open line. It's Friday. I'm throwing, I'm giving away the kitchen sink. It's Labor Day and I'm selling the house. I told you that. Now the bagpipes now. Now the bagpipes. What's next? What's next? A Fife fan? They had a bagpipe. Now the Fife fan will be out. Is anyone watching this? I don't mean to be... I shouldn't do this. I realize that. But it's enough already. How long has this gone on? It's like a Stalinist show funeral at this point. And you know what grates me? In other words, okay, great lady. You know, I don't know really how great she was or wasn't. I hear how gracious she was and this one. I assume she was. I know she's an icon to some conservatives who worked in the White House and loved her. They, you know, they worked for them. So therefore, but I don't know. I mean, I don't feel anything. Why must I watch this? It's like, here's the thing. For days now, it's been Donald Trump with the hair, the yellow hair. Or Cruz with the crazy eyes, with the shady eyes. Or Rubio, the amazing shrinking candidate. Or Kasich, I don't even know how to describe him in a simple thumbnail sketch. Kasich always looked like he was on the verge of tears. It looked like he was one Prozac short of a breakdown with a pink tie. I don't know what that's about either. It comes from tough background, hard working. But every time he speaks, I feel bad for him. I want to go and put my arm around him and say, there, there, it'll be okay, John. This will all be over soon. So this is a whole week of this, 2 weeks of this, day and night hammering us with politics. Now, there's nothing but a casket, a black casket up there. Now, here's the question. Why? Why must we watch this all day on all the cable channels? You could say, well, you could turn it off. But we're all news addicts, and this is all we're seeing now all day long? And you know it's all, you know, like for show. She lived a good life. She lived to 94. She had it very good. And she, I read that she wrote the whole service down to the last carnation. The service, the songs, the instruments, the shoes. So, okay, there's nothing more to say. I mean, I'm an iconoclastic kind of guy. I've always been since childhood. Always been somewhat of a rebel iconoclastic. And I don't like things being forced down my throat, whether it comes from the right or the left, especially from the media. It gets me agitated, to be honest with you. I mean, that's what I'm bellyaching about. What would you like to talk about? 855-407-282. We can play, how about, if this was only true, I'd be feeling better. I'm going to play Oh What a Night by the Dells. If I tell you what my night was, I wouldn't be playing Oh What a Night, but I like the song. I'm not talking just about sex. That goes on till you're 90. I've heard from some people. I'm talking about that sense of romance and love. How late can you be in life and still feel that? That's an interesting question. I mean, can you take a pill to have feelings on that level? All right, I'm getting too off the track here. This is not a political show anymore, nor has it ever been purely physical as a show. But remembering Nancy Reagan, when does this end? Does anyone have a time frame on this? No one likes to go to funerals to begin with. I understand it. It's a part of life. I understand that. Now with the hugging, with the Marin County hugs, with the hips back so no one gets the wrong impression. Do you know who was actually there? It was George Will, one of the worst people in the history of the journalistic profession, was invited to give a speech. Can you imagine that? Why would you invite George Will? I don't understand that part of it. Obama's not even there. He went to a party. He's going to have some entertainment thing in L.A. He just skipped. He split the whole scene. He has such dignity, this guy, that he didn't even go to the funeral of a former first lady. Great, great precedent, Barry. You really have class. You really learned an awful lot in Indonesia. I mean, Kenya. Excuse me, Honolulu. At least the first lady had the sense to go there. Where is she? She coming now? What's she wearing today? I saw her last night with Trudeau's wife. My, what a quinella that was. They use Canadian dress designers. Now, you know, it's one of my hobbies is dress design. At least ridiculing dress design or analyzing it or criticizing it. Because in San Francisco, we have the biggest hires in the history of the world. They're all so out of town, you can't believe what goes on in San Francisco at these museum events and galas. I don't know where they get these designs. It's like they buy them in used stores in Indonesia and wear them. They're all horrible. They look horrendous, the girls, the women in San Francisco with these opera thing. So now last night, the first lady, God bless her, and the first lady, if you want, the Trudeau wears a trousseau from Canadian dress designers that were horrible. A sleeveless dress showing flabby arms. on the First Lady of Canada. What are you showing the arms for if you're not fit and you're not muscular? What was that about? In other words, I don't understand it. She's the First Lady of Canada, so she wears a dress that to begin with the design was a nightmare. Then our First Lady, God bless her, with flowers on it. I don't happen to like flowers on dresses. When did that become popular? Especially in a... Is that Michelle Obama, my First Lady? Is she there now wearing dark? Is she wearing an appropriate outfit today? But she's hugging and kissing Michael Reagan now? The real Michael Reagan or the adopted one who tried it in radio for 15 minutes? Who? I think that's her first. I can't see. It's only showing the back of her head. I think she made a cameo. She's going to split and head to the West Coast to the party. I mean, it's running late. Air Force Two is waiting, all fueled up. They'll take two separate planes again. And one for the entourage, and then one for the baggage. Four airplanes to the party. Okay. Is this going to go on all afternoon? Let's take some calls. WJR, Greg, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Michael. It's an honor to speak to you. Hey, I just got to tell you, it's because of you. You're one of my intellectual heroes. I'm known as Mr. Positive on Detroit Radio. I was going to ask you, who in your mind... Or who has intellectually inspired you? What
author? Are you serious? Those kind of 1980s show questions? I'll answer it, but who really inspired me?
Yes.
You really mean that's a serious question?
Oh, my God, yes, because I've been listening to you for years.
Let me throw it back at you for a minute, because the answer can be given in different... Depends upon what my interest area is. So what area of life are you asking who influenced me? Is it science? Is it one person? Or two. Politics is another person. Medicine, another one. You know what I'm saying? So what area are you asking me?
Philosophy. Science.
All right. All right. So who is it I gravitated to as a youngster who I wanted to be like when I was a kid? Well, let's say my early heroes would have been Alfred Russel Wallace, who was the actual discoverer of the theory of evolution. It was not Charles Darwin. It's well known that it was Alfred Russel Wallace. But Russel Wallace came from a poor family in England, and although he first wrote the theory of evolution, he deferred to the wealthier Charles Darwin on his own, because in those days that's how it was done in Britain. And they both kind of came to the theory closely at the same time, but he permitted Charles Darwin to publish first to get the world's credit for it. I always loved Alfred Russel Wallace's work. I also love Darwin's work, but I liked Wallace's a little better for a number of reasons. His drawings were phenomenal, and his overcoming such poverty in his early years was awesome compared to Darwin, who came from a wealthy family. So those would be some people there. In the next field, let's make it simple for the average listener. What would be the next area that you're interested in?
Philosophy.
I can't say I was moved by philosophers per se. I found it to be obtuse, even in college when I was studying philosophy. I never really enjoyed it. I did remember reading Plato's Republic in high school, and I was very impressed with Plato's Republic because the logic was impeccable and orderly. I liked the idea of an orderly state, and I liked his answer to every question in the form of a dialogue, especially when he was asked by the interlocutor, you know, when the false interlocutor asked him a question, and what would you, sir, do with the artists and writers in our society who are leading the youth astray? Oh, did he have an answer for that one? It's about what I would do with the artists and writers on NBC, ABC, CBS, Fox News, and Saturday Night Live. About the same answer as Plato had. Next area, please.
Well, what did you think of Ayn Rand?
I don't know. Everyone loves her. And I'm supposed to, like, again, it's like Nancy Reagan. I'm supposed to, like, fall down and say she was great. I didn't like her writing that much. It was too wooden. I mean, I understand her themes were important, but the writing didn't grip me as much as Henry Miller did. I like reading Henry Miller more than Ayn Rand. I like Tropic of Capricorn because the sex scenes were fun. I like Tropic of Cancer because the sex scenes were even more fun. I like Black Spring because the sex scenes were even more fun. But aside from the jokes I just told, Henry Miller was also a philosopher of sorts. You know that, right?
Yes, yes. And, hey, I love you, and keep loving Elvis. And
so let me tell you, you're on what station in Detroit?
I have a little...
All right, that's it. It's enough of an answer. Thank you. It should have been instant. 855-407-282, KSFO Roy. You're talking about Nancy's funeral. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, good afternoon, Doctor. I would like to offer that perhaps the attachment to this is precisely what you were talking about in face of what has happened to our culture. She perhaps may be a last vestige of a different time in America when folks actually...
Yes, but I'm watching the screen, and here's the goofball son trying to act like Prince Charles, you know, leaning forward with his hands behind him. What's he shaking hands for like he's the dignitary? It all looks like 15 minutes of fame to me.
That's
there's a part of this funeral that I find a little garish and a little vulgar, to be honest with you. There's too much. Couldn't they have had a dignified family funeral?
Well, this is what she wanted. I suppose you have to...
I know, but she wanted it. I'm sorry, this is a very... Maybe historians 10 years, 20 years from now will understand that I'm right. If the woman herself, Nancy Reagan, designed the funeral down to the last flower, and this is going on now for how many hours? A couple hours already? On all of the cable channels, on and on and on. Is there something to be said about that?
And secondly,
let's say Ronald Reagan was a good president, and I don't consider him great. I'm not one of those who worship Ronald Reagan in radio, by the way. I, at the time, didn't like him very much because of what he did to the American farmer. I'm the only one who actually remembers what he did to people on the ground. Everyone's like, Reagan this, brought down the wall. I get it. But there's a lot of him that I didn't like. And I remember writing about it in my journals. Ronald Reagan did things with the small farmer that led to many farmers committing suicide in this country. And it led to the advent of agribusiness. I never forget that. I remember living through it, and I... I'm such a person who's disconnected, let's say, from any party system that I'm able to look at it with clean eyes. I didn't say, oh, well, he's great otherwise. So, okay, fine, but what did Nancy actually do? What did she actually do for the nation?
I think she contributed into keeping Ronald Reagan at his spot. He brought forth a very high spirit and a ton of optimism, and I think that is just... very much missing today, and I think maybe
that... All right, that's true. He was a very good presenter. There's no question about that. But some would argue Obama's optimistic the way he ridicules everything decent in the country. He gets quite a kick out of it.
I think he's quite cynical myself.
Have you noticed Obama, how much fun he's having lately, putting everything down that's sacred in this country? Why couldn't he even make an appearance at this funeral? What's that saying? I mean, there's a reason he didn't go. He's saying, let you know what he's saying, right? He's disrespecting her on purpose, isn't he?
I think it's a big middle finger.
Yeah. Well, you know what goes around comes around, my friend. Thank you for the call. I guess we could talk about the funeral, but I don't think we should. I don't think we need to do that. What is the best story of the week? I mean, there's quite a few stories. You could say the Cruz giving himself away, calling Trump voters low information is the best story of the week. You could say Trump selling his products is the biggest story of the week. You could say, so let's play a montage before we take a quick break of the infomercial. That was a fun Tuesday, I think. Let's have the Trump infomercial.
Built a great, great company. I have very low debt. I have assets. You've seen Mar-a-Lago. You know, many, many jobs in New York, including a city on the west side. The Bank of America building, a big chunk of it in San Francisco. I have Trump International, the water company. I supply the water for all my places, and it's good. Trump steaks. Where are the steaks? Do we have steaks? We have Trump steaks. And by the way, if you want to take one, we'll charge you about, what, $50 a steak. You have the airline, you have the wines and all of that. We have Trump Magazine. It goes to all of my clubs. I've had it for many years.
That's nice.
It's the magazine. It's great. In Trump University, we're going to start it up as soon as I win the lawsuit. Does that make sense? I mean, that's it. Okay.
So Rubio has the ice cream truck in Miami that he had to ditch when he ran for Senate. It's somewhere in a garage. We got the ice cream truck. We got the chocolate, we got the vanilla, we got the strawberry. It's melted, but we'll get it back. We got the ice cream truck. Let's see what else we have. We have the ice cream truck. We got nothing. Nobody else has anything. At least you can laugh at him if you want. What other candidate has anything? Let's see. What does Obama have? What's his legacy? What is Obama's legacy? Nothing except ripping everything apart. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CO.
I'm going to snide one now on Fox News with that sneery face of his, that creep. Meatball Jr. there. Why does he get me so mad, that Chris Walachensky? He drives me crazy, that snide face of his. He was the kind of kid in school, I can't tell you what... Well, we won't go down that road. Trending now on the Savage Nation are these particular stories. Clinton IT specialist revealing server details the FBI has become a devastating witness. Yeah, right, sure. Yeah. We all know the primaries are over, and I could tell you, I'll prove it to you right now. Want me to prove it to you right now so I won't waste my time or yours? AIPAC, one of the most important lobbying groups in America, the American-Israeli Public Affairs Committee, AIPAC, that we've heard so much about, has announced that both Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump will address their convention. End the story. Move on. There's nothing more to be seen here. You know, you can go home now. The primaries are over. Those are the two candidates. They know who it is because, well, I shouldn't fill in the blank because the conspiracy theorists will fill in the blank for me. Here's another little story. Wounded Warrior Board ousts two top executives. This is a heartbreaking story because you watch these ads for guys who've lost body parts and they're crippled and coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan. It rips your guts out. It rips your heart out, right? And then you give money to the Wounded Warrior Project and find out greedy pigs. Greedy pigs who are living like pashas with the money. Al Giordino and Mr. Nardizzi, there should be a special place in you-know-what for them.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
The funeral's over now. Now we're back to already the Trump funeral, the Trump disruption, the talking heads. There's Neil Cavuto, the living broadcaster. He reminds me of a Mortadella with a tie and eyeglasses. These are not this smart, these people. These were kids who went to school. They were not, they're B and C students. They couldn't decide on a career. I don't know how they went into journalism. I had a friend who went into it once. He couldn't do anything else. He started in a small paper. This is before anyone knew what a journalist was. He was the one in the crowd who couldn't even be a chiropodist. So he went to journalism school, and he became, the first thing he did was write obituaries for a newspaper in Oberlin, Ohio. I don't know where he was. A small Jewish newspaper wrote obituary. Nothing wrong with it. I'm not knocking the person or the obituary. And that's how they start. And the ones who can make a tie and look good, they wind up on television acting like they're smart. And this is what we watch day and night. Like they're the gods of our time. Let's take some callers. It's open mic to mic Friday on the Savage Nation. We watched the show funeral. And I had enough of it. I mean, really, it's enough. I think it went on too long. We ended the hour, we talked about a big story. Wounded Warrior Board ousts two top executives, which is a real big story to me because, you know, I take care of endangered animals. I like to help soldiers who get in trouble, and I've helped them. So when I see guys like Stephen Nardizzi and Al Giordino who were fired by the Wounded Warriors organization, because they were living like pashas, I get very sick. You know what Nardizzi was making? $473,000 a year. You hear this? Nardizzi was given $473,000 in comp in 2014. And at a staff meeting in a five-star hotel in Colorado, he rappelled into a crowd. The party cost $1 million of the money you gave to the Wounded Warriors to help those guys you see on television. They should be put in jail, in my opinion. See, any charity that abuses the meaning of the word charity. Here, this group spent 40% of donations on overhead. You know how high that is? 40% of your donations went to these guys living like pashas. There should be a limit. It should be no more than 5%, in my opinion.
Overhead should be no more than 5% of any charity. You want to be generous? Say 10% for all fundraising costs, all salaries, 10% top. But you know most charities are scams. You know that. And most people who run charities are greedy. You know that as well. Well, here we are. So now the Wounded Warriors. Nothing. You can't believe in anything anymore. They took in more than $372 million in 2014 to help guys who've lost limbs and are crippled. It's awful. And these egomaniacs, well, they finally were thrown out. Why are they not put in prison for abusing the funds? What, because it was legal, it means it's right? Who wrote the law that makes it legal? The same people are running the country. That's who. What else do I want to talk about? Now, here's one that's close to my heart. But, you know what? I want to hear some songs like There Goes My Heart by Tony Bennett. I don't know why I came up with it. Guys, I don't know if you could pull it down. It's probably somewhere in the queue. I didn't ask for it. And the reason I want to play it is because I saw the casket. I got depressed. I thought of my father's funeral in 1970. Now my whole day is ruined. The whole trip is over. All I see is like a black lacquer casket floating around in my brain. I feel like only Chagall could save me from my mind right now. Only a paintbrush and paints can save my brain from what I'm feeling. So if you play There Goes My Heart, I will tell you about the bums of San Francisco. Homeless State of Emergency in San Francisco by Chris W. Street Breitbart. A supervisor in San Francisco just declared a state of emergency to demand the city and state spend more money on the homeless filth. Supervisor David Campos, who spearheaded the Sanctuary City movement in 2009, to prevent illegal alien deportations and inadvertently led to the death of Kate Steinle when the illegal alien shot her in the head. This same crazy person, a supervisor, a left-wing lunatic, an addled brain like this you'd have to invent in a laboratory, now wants to spend more money on the bums in San Francisco. Do you know what's going on? He claims not enough money is spent on these filth, these human trash. Are you ready for this? The city of San Francisco spends $241 million a year on bums through 8 city departments that oversee 400 contracts to 76 private organizations, and the street has never been filthier, the streets have never been more dangerous, the streets have never been more ugly in my life. So who is it who gets these 400 contracts in the most corrupt city in America? Who are the 76 private organizations who feast off the taxpayers' dime and do nothing to stop the bums from defecating in the gutter? Spending on homeless services is up $84 million since 2011. Did you hear this? $84 million more, $241 million a year, and this bum wants to spend more on it. Do you know what's going on now? You want to hear what's going on now? This gets even more crazy. The bums, I can't even read it to you because it's a family show. The stench of human feces and urine, along with needles, litter the sidewalks of San Francisco. And so there's a real left-wing fanatic named Supervisor Aaron Peskin, one of the worst in the history of the city. If you were to think of Bernie Sanders as a younger man and possibly even more deranged to the left, it would be Aaron Peskin in my estimation. So Aaron Peskin, who had been a supervisor and then got fired, now he wants his job back or something. He wants more money. Do you know why? Because Peskin is complaining that deranged people are ruining the city. Why is he suddenly saying that? The liberal who permitted this to happen. This is what I love. Liberals cultivate the homeless issue. They let the bums run wild in the streets. And then it comes to bite them in the you-know-whats. You ready for this? Supervisor Peskin had to call 9/11 recently because a homeless filth who was naked from the waist down with his legs smeared in feces was standing outside Dopey Peskin's home on the Telegraph Hill's Filbert steps. The bum, covered with feces, was cursing obscenities while blocking residents' ability to walk to their homes. So poor old Aaron Peskin couldn't get to his home on Telegraph Hill, and now suddenly he says there's a homeless emergency. Aaron, hey, let me tell you something, boy chick. What goes around comes around. You created the homeless problem by catering to these bums. They belong in a mental hospital, you nut. And you belong there with them. Now give me some music. I left my what in San Francisco. All right, turn it off. It's not funny anymore. Yeah, another icon of San Francisco. All these liberals have given us the homeless bums, the illegal aliens, the shootings, the murder, the needles in Panic Park. It's not even Panic and Needle Park anymore. It's Needles and Panic Park. The whole city is like Panic Park. Now what? WMAL, Molly, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind, Molly?
Hi, I want to first of all thank you so much for introducing Donald Trump to us in 2011. So we are better acquainted with him than a lot of others. And I want to say that...
Wait, did I have him on in 2011? I forgot. I think I did a couple of years ago. Yes?
Thinking about running.
Wait, Robert, did we have him on in 2011? We did? Before you even announced? I didn't know that. All right, that's nice to hear. I'm sure he'll forget that I even did that, but that's okay. You know what happens. It doesn't matter to me. I'm doing it for the country, not for any personal gain, because I'm not asking for anything. And I took that pledge on this show, and I'll repeat it. I, Michael Savage, have not asked for anything from Donald Trump. I have not met with Donald Trump to ask for a darn thing. And I'll put that in writing. And I would hope every other supporter of any other candidate in the media, radio, television, print, would take the same pledge with regard to other candidates. So what do you think about Trump? Are you happy with him or not happy?
To me, he is a living, breathing, walking, talking Frank Capra movie. He's a movie with upbeat music, a joyful ending, but it's not...
This is a very interesting statement you just made. I heard you. What you say is he's projecting an optimism that we haven't seen since Ronald Reagan.
Amen to that, but it's not a fairy...
Not only optimism, but a braggadocio that's equal to people that are distasteful on the world stage, which we need right now to crush our enemies.
Very New York.
Absolutely. The swagger of New York. That's why he and I get along.
Tough as nails on the one hand. Everything was due yesterday, last month, last year. On the other hand, he is so genteel when he says in a crowd, "Oh, look at the little girl. Lift her up. How are you, darling?" That's New York. He's the mother at a Jewish wedding.
Well, that is what New York used to be. If you've been to New York recently, it looks like Calcutta by the Hudson. Have you seen New York recently?
No.
See how many people still speak English in Manhattan? Okay, thanks for the call. So that opens up 53 lines at 855-407-2822. Open mic to Mike, Rock and Roll Friday. Obama is nowhere to be seen. He wasn't at the funeral. He was in Austin, Texas for a party. And I'm sure he's enjoying himself, having a good time. It's nice to be king. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
Black casket. Can't get it out of my head. I need a paintbrush tonight. I need to paint the, I know exactly what I'm going to paint with one of my watercolors. It's going to be a cross-section of a head. An outline of a man's head with a nose, right? And the brain, I'm going to put the brain in there. And then the casket's going to be inside the brain. But I'm going to paint it yellow. And I'm going to give the casket wings. And I'm going to show the casket trying to fly out of the man's brain. And then I'm going to put the man on top of a roof with a violin. And then I'm going to put the picture of the man and the roof on top of the violin somewhere else. This is how I get it. I got to do different things to soothe myself. I can't. There's only so much you can take in. I'm overloaded, frankly. You must be overloaded, too, with the over and over with the primaries. Please let me vote already. Can we have a vote on we can vote earlier? Can America vote that we can have the vote earlier by 6 months and throw the bums out of the White House already? Send them packing and see what they take and what they leave behind? I would work a deal out with the Obamas if I were Trump, that if you leave 6 months early, you could take the furniture and the cutlery. And even the dishes, if you'll agree to leave 6 months earlier. We'll even throw in the furniture and the cutlery and the porcelain. You got to leave the oil paintings, though. Of course, Obama wouldn't want the oil paintings because it would show that people actually were presidents before him and that they built a country without him. Ann on KS. I hit line four. Where's Ann? No one there? No Ann? No one. Zero. Zip. Ann, line four. Goodbye. Hello. Patrick, WABC. See, we're getting good call screening. For an hour and a half, I'm screaming, give me callers about what I'm talking about now, not what I said an hour and a half ago. Then I get one, and she's not there. Patrick, line three, WABC. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Mike, very dark painting, you were saying. But as a fellow conservative from New York City, I always wanted to know why, out of all places in the United States, why would you move to San Francisco?
Well, first of all, I didn't move there yesterday. I moved there in 1974. That's a long time ago, isn't it?
Yeah, but it ain't that much changed from the 70s till now.
Well, it has changed. It used to be a tolerant liberal city. It has become an impossibly intolerant, fascistic, progressive city. There's a big difference. When I first moved to the San Francisco Bay Area, I had a young child about to enter school. And I didn't have the money to send him to private school. I'm not like Obama's stepmother, you know what I'm saying? He was able to, Obama went to private school, Punahou. If I had had the money, I would have stayed in Hawaii and sent my son to a private school. But because we are Caucasian, when my son was about to enter first grade, he was being picked on by the local kids who were not white. He was called Howley. He was called every racial name under the sun. All of the thugs were picking on white kids, and I didn't want to subject my son to that kind of racism. So I started looking around on the mainland. I had a friend living in the San Francisco area I used to visit. I always enjoyed the architecture. I love the North Beach Italian district very much, which is, by the way, atypically not San Francisco as you know it. It's the old Italian district. It's what drew me to San Francisco. Nothing else in the city did. And I found a little house out in the suburbs, and I moved there because I could afford to send my son to public school. And I was very happy in the beginning because a little yellow school bus came and picked him up. I felt it was kind of idyllic in many ways, and that's why I moved there. But what happened is a once tolerant liberal city became the most intolerant progressive city in the world. Patrick, that doesn't mean I'm going to leave. They're not driving me out. I'll drive them out before they drive me out. I'll tell you that, Patrick. I'm not running away from there.
Okay.
So, in other words, why I don't talk to them about politics. What do I have to leave for? I love the climate. I love the architecture. I love the geography. I just don't care for the morons who run the society around there. But they don't affect me directly. They don't interrupt my thinking. Thanks for the call. Now Ben Carson is coming up with Trump. I have to watch this. What can the mumbler say now? The mumbler is going to mumble his way onto the stage. Before he called him, Trump called him an idiot, a moron, a dummy, knifed himself, didn't knife himself, a psychopath, a rapist. Now they're best friends. I love politics for that reason. It's one of the reasons that I went into science originally, because I couldn't stand politics when I was young. I hated politics. I thought all politicians were liars. Was I wrong? No. I felt that they were boring because they spoke to the lowest element of humanity. Was I wrong? No. And then I started to look into science where there was order and something I could count on order. And then I discovered natural sciences. I found chemistry. I learned that there are certain things that are 100% true. You could find truth more closely find the truth in science than anywhere else except mathematics, perhaps. But I'm not a mathematician. I'll be back in a minute. Turn it off. I don't want to hear any of this today after the funeral. Guys, do you have any heavy metal, the kind I like? First of all, you know who I like. I like AC/DC. I like the other one, Metallica I like. Give me that stuff. Forget rock and roll. I'm not in the mood. It's over. Those days are over for this show on Friday. The funeral got me depressed. I don't like funerals. I try to avoid them. I mean, you have to go. No one likes funerals unless you're ghoulish. Ted Cruz may like funerals. He has the face for one. I don't. I'm a basically cheerful person. He's got a drab look about him. You know, like, I think they trained him to smile for the campaign. I don't think he's naturally a smiler. Trump, on the other hand, is a happy guy. Looks like he's happy. With the money and the women, why wouldn't he be happy? He had a Rolls Royce. He was born with a Rolls Royce and a spoon. Now Ben Carson I have to listen to. I liked him. Now I'm not sure I like him now. Because he hated Trump a while ago. And Trump hated him. Now they love each other. You know, if I were a child looking in on this, I can't take any more of it. Do we have the song I asked for? No. Okay. You know, when I was a kid, I used to run around in cowboy uniforms. As I got older, the old guys in my father's neighborhood, they knew I was a kid who was into, like, guns and cowboys. So they used to say to me, the old Italian guys sitting around in the Lower East Side, they'd say to me, "Hey, Michael, you like a Hopalong Casadice?" As you well know, in Italian, Casadice means, you know, what do you say? How you doing? Oh, Oh, those guys had a sense of humor. They were sharp. They were sharp. Look at this story just came out. It's a pretty interesting story from the Post by Yaron Steinbuch. The mafia wanted to whack Mario Cuomo in Italy in 1992. So I want to read it. I'm interested in mob stories. Because there's a subtext to it. Former Governor Mario Cuomo was targeted for assassination by the mafia during a trip he took to Italy in 1992, according to a report today. Mob hitman Maurizio Avola told The Guardian that Sicilian mobsters with assault rifles and explosives planned to take out Cuomo, listen to this, but called off the ambush after being spooked by his large security detail. That's amazing. Avola, who is serving life for his role in 43 murders and 40 armed robberies, told the paper that La Cosa Nostra Big sought to turn the heat on the Italian state and its allies. An offensive included that included the assassination of two anti-mafia judges. And so they wanted to target an American politician to send a message to America because Americans were getting collaborators who left Cosa Nostra and then got their bosses arrested. So they figured by knocking off an American politician, it would have sent a strong signal to New York. But Mr. Cuomo arrived in Sicily with extremely tight surveillance, lots of bodyguards, and a bulletproof car, and so Avola said it made the execution impossible. That's astounding. I really hope to God Trump has that kind of protection, to be honest. Known as the Occhi di Gigac, I can't pronounce, is there an Italian in the audience who can pronounce this for me? Eyesize, Occhi di Chiaccio. G-H-I-A-C-C-I-O. There's a woman who's Italian who listens to the show. I like to learn the pronunciation of Occhi di Chiaccio, or Ice Eyes, because I'd like to have a dish made for me called Ice Eyes by my local Italian restaurant. It would be a combination of chilled squid. I think chilled squid on ice would be Ice Eyes, that we'd call it. Savage's Ice Eyes. No one listening. Even my regulars aren't listening today. Where are they today? You know, people I don't know. All good. I was talking about the homeless in San Francisco, feces, nothing, no response. I talked about the wounded warriors, the greedy bums, nothing, not a caller on it. This is the problem. People are obsessed. All they want to talk about is Trump and Schmump and Thump and Trump and Mump. I'm not going to do it. I got to go on to something else. WJR, Rick, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Yes, sir, Mr. Savage. About a year and a half ago, my vehicle was on the fritz of the radio, and I only could get in AM stations. And your intro music was a Metallica song, which made me think I had landed on a great station. And then you went into your radio show, and you had a dedicated listener every day because of the only intro tunes. And I have learned greatly on politics and a lot of other topics as well as...
That's interesting. So my intro music hooked you, and now you found out that I'm very much like heavy metal in words.
Absolutely, and the point that I have created a following for yourself in my little click of things of telling fellow relatives and friends that this gentleman with Trump and all the stuff that you help us understand is all due to my one miscalculation of finding a station I thought was playing some kind of music I was into.
What was the opening music? What was it, AC/DC or Metallica, did you say?
Absolutely, yes, sir.
No, which song was it? Metallica, which song?
The Ride the Lightning. It was on the Ride the Lightning album, but I forget the name of the title right offhand.
Amazing. Well, let me send you a copy of a book you might like, Government Zero. It's a great book. I wrote it. It's not as good as a steak, a water, a hotel, an airline, a golf club, a country club, but it's pretty good for a book, I'll tell you that. You want a book? I don't have it. You want a water? I don't have it. You want an airline? I don't have it. You want a vodka? I don't have it. You want a shoe? I don't have it. You want a designer clothing? I don't have it. I have books. All I do is talk shows and books. See that, guy? So now let's go back to some Metallica music. They are my favorite. You know which song I want to hear is that one with the Start Me Up? I want to hear Start Me Up, the old line Start Me Up by Mick Jagger when he was still alive. And then I want to hear the other one that I like a great deal. I'd like to know what Mick Jagger's genetics are. Man, if I could do that, I'd like the genetic mapping of Mick Jagger. He's got to come from some pirate background. It was guys like skinny English guys like that with sabers that built the empire. They were afraid of nothing. They were fearless. These guys abused themselves their whole lives. They did everything that I wished I could do, but I didn't have the nerve to do because I knew it would kill me, and they're still living. How is that possible? How could they abuse their bodies like this with so many things that are known to destroy the human being and still be alive at 70 and performing. I don't understand that. This is what I don't understand. I watch everything I put in my body. I'm fanatic. I'm a germaphobe to begin with. I wouldn't shake a hand if you're... I don't shake a hand. I do a Chinese fist bump. Well, no, I do the old Chinese thing where I shake my own hand for years. Now I do the ghetto thing where I do a fist bump. People think I'm crazy. I'm not going to touch your hand if I don't know you're the mob. You know, like a germ in your hand, even by accident. Like, I don't want to touch another guy. The Chinese were smart in the age of contagion. They didn't shake hands. Did you know that? What do you think? They had their hands together and they bowed. Mm-hmm. That way they didn't have to touch you. They were very smart, the ancient Chinese. That's why there's a billion of them. Think about that. It's not a billion of you. There's a billion of them. Why? Because they're smarter than you are when you think about that. Oh, here we go. Tom on WMAL. You know how to pronounce that in Italian? I want to hear it, please, sir.
It's Occhi di Ghiaccio.
It's Ghiaccio?
Ghiaccio.
Ghiaccio. Is it Ghiaccio or Chio?
Ghiaccio.
Ghiaccio. It's hard to say the Chio.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what it means is Occhi means eyes, and then di Ghiaccio is of ice. So it's saying eyes of ice. It's a way that they would say an ice-cold stare.
So in the political world, who has Occhi di Ghiaccio?
In the political world?
Yeah. In the political world of today, which one of the candidates on either side of the aisle has such eyes? Occhi di Ghiaccio.
I wouldn't say that any of them have that, because it's not necessarily a... it has something to do with, like, you know, if a stairs could, you know, if looks could kill, put you 6 feet under. It's kind of that. And kind
no,
of
I understand a look that chills you to your bone, because I've seen guys like that. You know, Obama has eyes that borderline that, doesn't he? He has icy eyes.
Yeah, he's ice cold, but not in so much that he'll kill you. It's just that he doesn't care. It's a different kind of...
So what would the Italian be for that?
You apply it.
How would you say it? Occhi di Obama? Are you of Sicilian descent, Tom?
No, I am not. Milanese.
Milanese. I like veal Milanese. So, but how, is this Italian Occhi di Ghiaccio, or is it a Sicilian?
No, it's, well, it may be a Sicilian, specifically a Sicilian term. But I've heard it. It's definitely just the Italian language.
Yeah, no, there are guys who have that look where you look at them once and they put the fear of God right through your heart and you walk away, right?
Yeah. And I can say what you were talking about taking out judges. I was stationed there as a naval officer in Naples back in the early 90s. And actually, while I was there, the first day I arrived, the very first day, a woman and her child were killed. They were driving along the highway, and a guy come along in a motorcycle with a rider on the back, pulled out a pistol, took him out, and I learned, I'm like, wow, what was that about? Found out it was the wife and the son of a Camorra, what they call the Camorra.
Yeah, the Naples Mafia, the Camorra.
Yeah, and they had taken out the mob boss or whoever they wanted to take out. Now they were taking out the wife and the kid. And they had just taken the husband out a few weeks earlier before I arrived. And the very day I arrived, being stationed in Italy, the wife and the kid were killed. Now,
you know, thinking of all of this, I realized you go to Donald Trump and you realize he's a populist candidate owned by nobody with all of his flaws and his braggadocio. And you see the hatred coming from despotic nations where assassinations are commonplace. They're telling us who we should elect in this country, where they're telling us from Mexico that we shouldn't elect Trump. I wonder what the Mexicans are afraid of with Trump. What, that they're going to have to take care of their own poor? And they won't be able to dump contraband over the border with impunity anymore? And so that leads me to a really kind of, I would say, difficult question for myself even. I'm a little worried for Trump, to be frank. He is challenging the most corrupt dictatorships on the planet. They've expressed absolute contempt for him. And I am worried for him, to be honest with you. Thank you for the call. Then you had that fake scene with that Breitbart fake reporter saying that she was manhandled. What a bunch of garbage that was. Just trying to get a little, you know, pleasure out of that one. 855-400-7282. I got some good callers. I got some other callers. We're talking about this. We're talking about that. Here are the topics of the day, if you want to talk about them. Homeless state of emergency in San Francisco. Justice Department accuses Apple of false corrosive rhetoric in FBI dispute. Obama said in an interview with a magazine, I'm more worried about climate change than the Islamic State. Now, this either shows a deranged man, a disconnected man, or a man working for the other side. In addition to that, he shifted the blame for the collapse of Libya on European leaders, including Cameron. Does this not tell you that this man is literally unsafe at any speed? And then we get someone from Canada who is even more leftist than Obama. Here's a guy who wins an upset in Canada. They had a wonderful conservative leader. They wind up with this ballerina running the country. His father was a lunatic. I remember Trudeau. He destroyed Canada. Now the son comes along. He's even loonier than the father. He lets in 25,000 Syrian refugees as one of his first official acts. And then he says something that's so bizarre. He says that we cannot kill terrorists because if we kill terrorists, we become like them. The only way to defeat them is not to kill them. Have you heard anything like this? So what is the logic of that? If they kill us, what? You don't kill terrorists because you become like them? If guys like Trudeau and Obama were in power during World War II, you'd be speaking German and you'd be a lampshade. I'll be back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2646. It's been an exhausting week. I mean, really, these campaigns, they're like these endless campaigns. They exhaust the electorate. You're dizzy at the end of it. You don't know what to do. And I'm in the business. I'm supposed to be enjoying it. I'm not. The funeral was the final thing for me with the lack of casket. Went on for hours and hours and hours like a Stalin, like laying in state. And she orchestrated the whole thing. I mean, I'm not supposed to notice this. Nancy Reagan, according to the news reports, wrote out the instructions for the funeral from the beginning to the end, with the down to the last flower and the curtsy. The last curtsy. Probably picked the outfits for the family. I know one of the sons needs someone to tell him what to wear. And it's over. And how much can we take of this? We're living. See, here's the problem for me. We're allegedly living in a democracy. We're allegedly living in a non-royalist state. But we know that it's been warped and perverted. And we know that there's been an element of the presidency. The president's rather has become more and more like a royal patronage job than anything else. We become exactly like the very thing that our founding fathers overthrew. Obama is the epitome of the evil of a power-mad ruler. Perhaps the worst we've ever had in the history of this country. An arrogant, disconnected, doesn't go to the funeral, doesn't even put in a minute. Now, that may please the people in, you know, certain organizations. They'll get a kick out of it, you know what I'm saying? They'll get some creds with Al Sharpton and those kind of type of people. But this is not the dignity of the office that you come to expect. He could have shown up for 5 minutes on the way to the party that he was going to. But no, that's him. But the point I'm making is a little broader than that, which is we're supposed to be living in a democracy. Now, why are we having state funerals like this? That we're all supposed to, what, stop driving? Like in North Korea? Maybe next we'll have to stop driving. Our cars will have to pull our cars over on the side of the road and put our hands over our heart. This is what I'm talking about. I don't like it. It's too much statism. It's too much. It should have been a more private funeral, I think. For me. One man's opinion. Now we're talking about so many other topics. Charities, wounded warriors. Why are they not in jail? Two men on the border live like pashas. I like the word pasha. I used it twice. Look it up. One more hour, and the week is over. Right here on the Savage Nation. Be with me.
Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
The thing going around that's so freaky about Ted Cruz, it's been up on Drudge all day, so I finally clicked on it. I didn't have the guts to look at it till now, because I'm so with the funeral and the week and the this and the that and the vodka and the water and the steak, my head's spinning. Now, Cruz has a father who gave a speech where that says Ted Cruz is anointed to bring the spoils of war to the priests. And it's on audio, videotape. He talks about people being anointed as kings to facilitate the end times, transfer of wealth, and bring the spoils of war to the priests. This is sort of like Wahhabism. It's sort of like Christian Wahhabism. I don't understand this. How can he get away with this? It's Christian Wahhabism that we're looking at here. Do you understand? I'm not knocking Pentecostals. I mean, we had it with... Isn't Jimmy Carter a Pentecostal with the snakes? I'm just asking. I don't know the whole story with the snake thing. I know I've joked about it for years. Jimmy Carter had a brother with the snakes and drinking some kind of lighter fluid or strychnine, or some of them go and they start to talk in tongues. Are you telling me... I'm not into this whole side of religion. You know, but is this a part of the Pentecostal belief? My folks, listen, Jesus said beware of false prophets. So if a man poses as one kind of Christian when he's another, what does that tell you? What kind of Christian is Ted Cruz anyway? Well, Jimmy Carter is a Southern Baptist, but I know Southern Baptists. They don't have snakes in the house. They have no snakes on the plane. But Jimmy was into the cult with the strychnine and the snakes. I'm not making it up. Do we need a religious crackpot in the White House? He's a troubling candidate. He's far more troubling than any other candidate on the stage. Well, not more than Bernie Sanders. Hillary speaks for herself. So you look it up. Is there anyone in the audience who can talk about this? His father, Rafael Cruz. He's hocking a pretty good Chinik up there on the stage. They have such beautiful churches. You know, you look at this, these big crowds, and they throw a tithing at you. I wonder what they make in that business. What do they make in that priest business? They have these mega churches, beautiful acoustics, gorgeous video. They have Christian bands, people who are saved. And people like it. On Sunday, they go in. Nice crowd, no one bothers you. I wonder what you make in that business. I'm looking at it, maybe post-radio. It's nice. I mean, you can get into a whole thing with that. I'm very cynical today. I'm very, very cynical after the funeral, the state funeral, because I was watching a show last night in history. I didn't watch the debates. 5 minutes, I turned it off. 5 minutes, I turned it off. I had enough. I heard it all before. So I watched American military thing on Joseph Stalin. I had seen it many years before. I knew he was the worst dictator in the history of the world. What he did to people outdid Hitler. But you wouldn't know that. I'm not justifying what Hitler did. Don't twist my words, Media Matters. I know you specialize in your Stalinist twistings. But Stalin was a certifiably paranoid lunatic. The killings, the murders, the mass murder of all of his fellow Russians, I couldn't believe the numbers. It was Stalin who said, the death of an individual man is a tragedy. The death of a million is a statistic. And when he got through with Russia, I don't know how the Russians survived. He killed half the generals. He tried to kill all the doctors who he thought were plotting against him when he was an old man. But before that, the damage he had done to the economy. I'm talking about straight out Stalinist communism. Communism as practiced by Joseph Stalin is known as Stalinism. And we have Stalinists in our government right now. They're working for Obama. He's a mini Stalinist. He hasn't gotten around to the worst yet of Stalinism. 30 million Russians died under that maniac out of his paranoia. So there was a point of it that I wanted to mention today. You know how Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton rage on about class warfare, and they keep trying to turn the poor and the downtrodden against those of us in the middle class who are productive and produce all of the tax in this country and produce all the products and services? That's exactly what Stalin did. Stalin, after he had gained total power, went around and he decided that the government should run agriculture. Now, at the time, Russia was a self-sufficient nation. It could feed itself. So he goes to the wheatlands, the heartlands of the wheat, which was in the Ukraine, I believe, and he instigates the peasants against the landowners, and he calls the landowners kulaks. He slanders them with a Russian slanderous word, kulak. And by dehumanizing them, he turns the peasants on the landowners, and then he has the peasants kill the landowners in the most horrible way with hoes and rakes, shooting them. And he says to them, "Now, my friends, you have seen the justice of the People's Republic, and now you're going to work the land. But you're not going to work the land for the kulaks. You're going to work the land for Father Russia or Mother Russia." So now they work even worse. They have more harsh lives than they had under the landowners, of course. Anything a state touches doesn't work out virtually. So the state takes over the production of food. And not only does he work them worse than they worked before, but he steals all of the food that they're producing, all of the wheat he steals, and takes it for the elites in Russia. Does that sound familiar? Look around Washington, D.C. And he steals it for the elites and also to export it on the world market to earn currency, hard currency. And then a mass starvation hits the peasants of Russia. And you see heartbreaking pictures like you've not seen in your life of Russians. You know this. And the 30 million Russians starved to death because of this madman, this Stalinist. But that's not enough for him. And on and on and on. So, you know, I myself, I'm an anti-communist, but I'm also an anti-fascist. And what we have in America is not liberalism at all. It's fascism. What poses as liberalism is fascism. When they try to dictate to you what you should think, what you should say, what you should believe, that is fascism. That's exactly what I'm trying to tell you the liberals have become in this country. And Obama is a mini-Stalinist by imposing his views on everyone and by terrorizing the population through the NSA spying and so many other ways. So this is what I'm talking about when I explain to you what Stalinism is on a minor scale. You get what I'm saying? So now we come to the other side of the aisle. Now we have Ted Cruz, kind of an unknown guy. He came out of nowhere. The wife works for corporations on Wall Street. And this guy claims he's not from Wall Street. We went through this yesterday. And I don't know what sect of Christianity he practices. He claims he's Presbyterian. It turns out he's Pentecostal. Why does that matter? Why does that matter? Should it matter to us? That's a good, interesting question. And I think it's a very important question. We know he's not going to win the nomination. It's been picked already. It's been decided. I told you that today. It came out today who won the primaries. You could have all the debates you want. You got to what follows. The candidates are Hillary and Trump, as we suspected. How do I know that? Because AIPAC, the most powerful lobby in America, American-Israeli Public Affairs Committee, has announced the two lead speakers for their next dinner are Hillary and Donald Trump. So that tells you all you need to know. The power structure has already decided who it is. So it doesn't matter, you know, what anything does, what anyone does. Those are picked. Personally, I think that if Trump runs against Hillary, if she gets to the finish line with the scandals, we learned today that the Clinton IT specialist is revealing details to the FBI, and he's been given a deal. I mean, it's like the mafia. They gave him a deal to turn on her. And you know what happened with the leaders of the mobs once they did that? What Sammy Gravano did once they gave him a deal and brought down Gotti? This is exactly an equivalent. It's like, but not exactly the equivalent, because this guy, the IT guy, is not like Gravano, but you know what I'm saying? They give you a deal if you rat out the guy above you. That's what's going to happen. She's liable to go down. And if she does, it's not going to be Sanders. Sanders is going to eat a polonium knish before that happens. He'll either have a polonium knish or a polonium corned beef sandwich, God forbid, before they ever let him get to the finish line. They'll bring in the moron Biden to run against Trump, or God knows who else they could dig up. Who else is waiting in the wings there on the stage of the Democrat stage? I don't know who they could pull up. Okay, so these are some of the topics. There are others. It's the Savage Nation on Friday. It's already 16 minutes after the hour. The callers are still here, hanging in there. Let's have some music to jazz them up. I saw an interesting sign today, which I told about in the first hour in a little gift shop here in Florida, and I bought it for my home. I can't wait to get home and hang it proudly over my door. It says, I was weird before weird was cool. I said, now that's who I am. I was always a weird kid, and I was always an iconoclast. I was always rebellious in my own way, not like a druggy crook type of rebel. I was just rebellious about, you know. So that's why, if forgive me today if I sound a little rebellious about the funeral. I thought it was over the top. It was too much for me. If you'd like to call on any of these topics, I pity you. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CO. Hasn't this been a weird week, very taxing for you? All these, if you're political, all these, every night another show trial, another show debate, and then another one, and another one in the lowest of the low, asking lowball questions. When does it end? And then the week is capped off with a funeral that blocks the TV screen for hours, down to the last carnation. See, it's very exhausting, to be honest with you. If you're a media watcher, this has not been an easy week. So if you're a little under the weather or depressed, you're not alone. Let me tell you. William on KSFO, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, like your other caller, I was also attracted to your Metallica intro. You got The Shortest Straw has been pulled for you and Master of Puppets. But I work in San Francisco. I'm a carpenter, and I see so much dirty things and drug deals right in front of you. They do it right in the middle of the street. And I've talked to cops, and they say they can't do anything. Their hands are tied.
The psychopathic leftist vermin who run the city, the worst and most corrupt politicians in the world, live in San Francisco, and they've destroyed one of the greatest police forces in the country. The SFPD has some of the bravest men I've ever met. They're willing to do the job, but if they do their job, they either lose their job or they go to jail. That's how sick the city is. So you got bums defecating right in front of women and children. You got junkies throwing needles in the street. You got people urinating in front of women and children. The cops can't do a thing.
No, they can't. And they just sit back, and it's all they can do is sit back and watch. And it's.
I don't blame them. I don't blame them at all. I don't know how they do their job. All they can do is go out with a body bag after someone's dead. So what part of the city do you work in as a carpenter in San Francisco?
What's that?
Where do you work in the city? All over?
All over the place. I just finished. Today was my last day at the AT&T Park doing the ticket office.
You're doing an office in the park?
Yeah, the ticket office.
Amazing. And are you an independent contractor or do you work for a big corporation?
I work for a corporation.
This is astounding. There's still a guy who can be a carpenter who speaks English. I want to hold you on the line. You're like a rarity in America. A carpenter who speaks such good English, how did that happen?
Oh, I don't know. My father gave it to me, I guess. Gave me the talent and the courage to be...
How many illegals are working with you on this job, percentage-wise?
What's that?
How many illegal aliens are working with you in the building trades on this job, in your estimation, percentage-wise?
Probably 50%.
50%.
Trade.
And they don't pay taxes, do they? Do they pay taxes on the money they earn?
Yeah, well, we're union, so they get pulled out, but...
Well, let me ask you this. We keep hearing that the illegals are doing jobs that Americans wouldn't do. Here's an American, you're doing a job called carpenter. How many Americans would like to do your job but don't have the job because the union's hiring illegals?
There's many.
Mm-hmm.
And the Fairness Act, where they have to hire so many minorities.
Oh, right. The poor oppressed minority, right.
Yes. And a lot
poor
of
oppressed minority from another country, not even a citizen. That's so tolerant of America. All I can say is go Trump. And that's why so many... Well, let me ask you this. Are a lot of your guys voting for Trump?
Absolutely.
And for the reasons we're talking about, because you've seen your birthright stolen from you.
Absolutely.
In plain English, let's not mince words. Let's get down to the line here. We know there's a war going on, and it's a war to push America out of their own Americans out of their own country. And Americans finally have a candidate, as flawed as he is, as boasting as he is. That's why they're voting for him in droves. Blue collar guys who haven't voted in 20 years are going to vote for him. Thank you, William. There it is, right in a nutshell. KVOR, John, welcome to the Savage Nation. What city are you calling from?
Hi, Dr. Savage. I'm in Colorado Springs. I wanted to say the fact that I've enjoyed your show for 10 years, and you are the maddest, most truthful talk show host upstanding the truth in America there is. I get in trouble for it, but you blaze all day long. I really appreciate it. I wanted to draw the analogy between the fact that the Stones are still alive, and if the basis of every song they wrote is an angst or an angry message, even their love songs, and that is how we keep surviving. We stay aware, we stay mad, we stay angry because the sheep are asleep and the time is near, I fear. And the stuff that it goes on right in front of our eyes is making me crazy.
Yes, when I see a president like this, disrespecting the office of the presidency as he does without being called out on it by the geniuses in the media, doesn't go to her funeral even for 10 minutes. He basically spit on her casket today, and he gets away with it. Why? There's only one reason, and I don't even have to say it. Thanks for calling.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Hey, Savage.
It's about angst. You hear it in me every day. Even when I'm happy, I'm miserable. In that sense, there's an anger in me. There is. I admit it. I won't deny it. Keeps me going. You think it's invented? You think it's theatrical? You'd be wrong. Ask the people who can't live around me if you think I'm making it up. I'm more agitated over the news than you could ever imagine. I keep it from you. But the thing is that you have to temper your anger with a levity or else it's boring. It's just horrible. Anyone could be angry. Who wants to hear just another angry guy? You got to temper it along the way. So we're dealing with the news today. Incidentally, on the religion thing with Ted Cruz. Look, it's been up on Drudge all day. You know, Matt creates the news, meaning he takes an article, and if he puts it up and he runs it all day, it means he's changing the dialogue. So it says, Ted is the anointed one, Holy Ghost video revealed, dad speaking in tongues, supporters lay hands on Cruz at rally. Come on. And what this is about is that Cruz has claimed to be a Baptist, right? But in fact, it came out today, he's a Pentecostal. It's Trump who is a Presbyterian, according to my friend Peter Chalka, who sent this to me. So is this a big enough story to even talk about? I don't know. Then you got the fake story of the girl, the fake reporter from the fake website, Breitbart, who's been dead a long time, along with his website, who claims she was roughed up by Trump's man. So who's having her on? Naturally, the roller babe, the roller derby girl herself, Mad Dog Kelly, is having the liar on her show. Can you believe how low Fox News has become, that they're taking a fake slam against Trump like this? It's been proven to be false. And, you know, a shame on Breitbart. There are some good people there, but some of them are real bad people. And they really ought to be ashamed of themselves to be running with this one. But let's go back to the callers on the set. I like that Metallica song, incidentally. Yeah, my voice just came back up. I feel the energy came back. I was going through like a dwell. I felt like an airplane that was in stormy weather. I feel like the plane has come out of the clouds now. You know why? I don't know why. Penelope, WVLK in Kentucky. Welcome. What's on your mind, Penelope?
Oh, thank you, Dr. Savage. I just wanted to say a few things about snake handling churches. I like to read books about Appalachian culture. I'm from Eastern Kentucky. There are a few snake handling churches left. There are not very many because snake handling is illegal now.
Penelope, explain to me, an outsider, what was the snake in the church about? What was that?
There are verses in the book of James that say, that talk about taking up serpents and about fire not harming you and that you can drink poison and not be harmed. And so these people have like rattlesnakes and they bring them to the church and they get kind of frenzied. They're like, it's like trance-like.
I've seen videos. So was Jimmy Carter a member of that sect with the hand? I thought he was. I mean, I read about it, the snakes and the poison.
before. I had never heard anything about Jimmy Carter belonging to a snake house.
It looks like he'd been drinking that stuff his whole life with what he's gotten away with.
It's interesting. They're very...
Is that to cast the snakes out of the temple? It's to cast evil out? Is that it?
It's a faith. It's a faith thing. They prove their faith if they can, drink the poison, handle the snakes, and not be harmed.
How did that originate? How could an entire sect of a religion, develop itself around throwing a rattlesnake out of the church? What do they drink? Strychnine? They can't drink strychnine. They would have died.
They do.
Strychnine? They can drink strychnine and live?
They do. Some of them do.
No wonder I don't even fly over that area of the South for fear of a forced landing. I make sure the pilots divert from areas where they do the snake handling. I'm joking. All right, look, to each his own. Are you a member of that church?
Hey,
are you a member of that snake church?
No. I'm not a member, but I like to read books on Appalachia.
Oh, well, you've enlightened me. I'll tell you the truth. I love a literate answer to the question. I guess I'm supposed to be tolerant of everything, so I may as well tolerate that, too. Why not? What should I say? Whatever floats your boat? Whatever bites your ankle? I mean, come on. You know what? Everything is equal now. Oh, fine. Yeah, my daddy belonged to church. My snake bit him and stricken him. Fine. Terrific. So, yeah, bring that into the family. Why not? It's the same as breaking a glass under a hoopah, I suppose. If you look at the Jewish tradition, to an outsider, they think they're crazy when they get married. The guy stands there and he puts a napkin over a glass and smashes it with his heel. Say, what's that about? I don't even understand it myself. But looking from the outside, you could say that tradition is insane. See, this is the thing about cultural relativity. I'm an anthropologist by training at the master's degree level. My PhD is in a different set of fields, but I did get a master's in anthropology, and I was a great anthropologist. I did some really great research. I love the field enormously. And I learned so many different things about what is considered a norm in one part of the world is considered a crime in another, for example. And the cultural relativity is awesome when you think about it. And now that we're living in this phenomenally multicultural world, the fact is that we're going to be exposed to even more and more and more what we think are bizarre behaviors. So don't think I don't have the sensibilities to understand all of this. On the other hand, don't you think there should be limits at a certain point? Or don't you think that there are going to be people who are taking advantage of cultural differences to get away with murder? Of course there are. Just as you have people taking advantage of the whole transgender nonsense by saying, oh yeah, I'm a man inside a woman's body, so I'll use the woman's restroom. You know there are a lot of pervs using that racket to get into the woman's bathroom. And so this is what's going to happen with the cultural defense. And I've read about it for years, about cultural defenses. And I've seen people get away with virtual murder, and it has happened in this country. And I don't remember which religion. A guy murdered his wife, for example. He said, well, she did this, and in my culture, from the world where I came from, you're allowed to kill your wife if she does that. And the idiot judge says, okay, fine, cultural defense, you're dismissed. Don't think it hasn't happened. It has. I've seen it over and over again, and this is what happens with liberalism. They have no sorter. They have sorter, S-O-R-T-E-R. They can't distinguish between a rational acceptance of multiculturalism and an irrational abuse of multiculturalism. And I think that's fairly well said, and I don't think I have to go beyond that, frankly. But this thing with him with the Pentecostal business, I don't know if that's a big deal with the snake. The Father speaking in tongues. Now, what is that speaking in tongues about? How does that work? Why do they speak in tongues? I don't quite get that. I mean, I can make jokes about it, but I don't quite understand that. How do you speak in tongues? You like mumble? Your eyes roll? I've seen pictures of that, too. KSFO, Dean, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind tonight?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, you're on the radio.
Okay. Listen, I just wanted to say that the way I think Trump works, I just want to draw an analogy. I was born in the U.S. My grandfather had migrated to the U.S. So when President Reagan was in power, instead of through all kinds of mental exercises...
I'm sorry, you have a very important point, but you're breaking up, and it's a bad call for those listening. They'll turn the show off. This was a Muslim gentleman from the San Francisco area calling to say that he is voting for Trump because Trump will make peace with the Islamic world, which I thought was an interesting call, and I couldn't, you know, I couldn't hear it that well, but that's what he, you know, was saying. 855-472-82. We're coming to the last 17, 15 minutes of the show, and you ought to grab a line while you can, because we're not going to be here forever. Now, before we go to a caller or to break, there's some sound I have to get to. These guys killed themselves today at work for me. Poor Robert and Jim. And they gave me 10 pages of sound, of which I am looking at it. And I think the one that we should play right now is Donald Trump's revisionist statement on Islam hating all of us. Clip 11, please.
Last night you told CNN, quote, "Islam hates us." Did you mean all 1.6 billion Muslims?
I mean a lot of them. I mean a lot of them.
Do you want to clarify the comment at all?
Well, you know, I've been watching the debate today, and they're talking about radical Islamic terrorism or radical Islam. But I will tell you, there's something going on that maybe you don't know about, and maybe a lot of other people don't know about. But there's tremendous hatred, and I will stick with exactly what I said to Anderson Cooper.
See, he just made mush out of the thing called Tapper. He tapped on Tapper's head pretty good just now. He says, I mean, a lot of them. So then Tapper, you know, you want to clarify. Yeah, what's to clarify? He made the statement. What's to clarify? What, expect him to get on his hands and knees and apologize? See, that's why we like him, is because he's not taking garbage from these idiots in the media. I mean, in plain English, that's another reason we like him. Warts and all, you know. There was another interchange last night that's worth talking about, but maybe it's too esoteric, where Cruz is against, on the issue of trade, he's against tariffs. Now, I'm in favor of tariffs, and so is Trump. In fact, I wrote about tariffs 2 books ago and then the last book. And I especially noted tariffs on foreign goods like China, because there is no free trade because they put tariffs on our goods. It's that simple. So Cruz takes a standard, almost Cold War view of tariffs. It's an antiquated view that Cruz uses. He's being misadvised again by neocons on almost every level. By the best I can understand, he's being advised by people who either work for Ronald Reagan or were advisors to Ronald Reagan, or were in think tanks around the era of Ronald Reagan and then Bush. What he's saying is exactly the position of the Bushies. So Cruz talked against tariffs last night, saying that it'll give us a Great Depression. He's wrong. What it'll do is straighten out those who are trading us into the ground. How could we have such a trade deficit, Mr. Cruz, if free trade was so great, is what I would say. In other words, what are you arguing, to continue the status quo with the trade deficit we have? If you want to balance the books, Mr. Cruz, something you never had to do as a lifetime politician, what you have to do is punish the guys who are out-trading you. This is street smart, Ted, something you don't have, something you didn't learn at Harvard, and something I learned long before Berkeley. And I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO. Because I don't like this song. Welcome back to the program. I hope you're listening across the country and around the states of Florida and California, where I reside from time to time. Here's some breaking news. Old Bernie the Stalinist just won. He shopped his desire to have 17-year-olds vote in a primary, and he found a crackpot leftist county judge to rule that some 17-year-olds can vote in the primary. And, of course, the reason 17-year-olds like Bernie is because they're stupid. When you were 17, did you know anything about Stalin and Hitler? Nothing. Did you know anything about communism? Nothing. Did you understand what statism does? Nothing. So that's why the idiots like Bernie promised them everything. Free college, free shoes, free televisions, free iPhones, and screw the rich. Eat the rich. That's Bernie's one message. Evil little Bernie. So he shopped it to a judge, and the judge said, sure, 17-year-olds can vote on primary day. Just days before the Tuesday day primary, old Bernie, Mr. Honest. 855-407-282. We know what's going on here on the world of Trump. Trump and Hillary to headline AIPAC conference. I said that earlier. I told you that's already tells you who won already. And I'll repeat my bad joke that Bernie, no matter what happens, he's not getting near the finish line. Let's say she's indicted and he's left. He's not getting there. The power structure knows he can't win. They don't want a crazy commie crackpot from Vermont to carry the standard bearer because they'll have a landslide against them like they never saw in their life. It'd be 85-15 for Trump if that idiot ran. Not because they're against Stalinism, but because he can't win. He's not popular outside of very, very small demographics. So he'll get either a polonium knish, as I said, or something along those lines. And my friend Phil from San Francisco said he almost drove off the road. That's a funny joke, only if you get the context. A, you have to know what a knish is. B, you have to know what polonium is. C, you have to remember the whole story. But it's funny in its own way. It wouldn't be funny if it actually happened. I don't wish him any ill. This guy had illness imposed upon him at his birth, Bernie. He was cursed at birth with that mind of his. And here we are. We have wonderful callers. Snake handling is a big topic. What is speaking in tongues? Carolyn on KSFO, I think you're going to have the last word on the program tonight. What about speaking in tongues? No, I hit the wrong one. Line 5. Give me line 5. Carolyn, go ahead, please.
The truth is that the properly translated, there's no verse of Scripture that refers to speaking in tongues. It has to be a translated. Somebody either has to know Hebrew, Greek, Latin, Spanish, whatever. They're speaking. It's not just babble. And if it is, they're not talking to God. They're just babbling.
Well, what is it when they speak in tongues? You mean these are people who are literate in several languages who speak in different languages to God?
They speak to God, yes. It's a gift, and like I said, it's only referred, like Mr.
Do you have to be knocked over your head in order to do this?
No, it's something that comes over you, you know,
Wait, this is an interesting question. You're telling me an average uneducated person could speak in three languages even though they never studied them?
Supposedly. I've never done it. I've never seen it done.
I've read stories of guys who never spoke a language, and they wake up after an accident. They're speaking a foreign language.
There you go.
You know, and I've heard about that because the human mind is fathomless. Don't get scared when I tell you that, but it's true. You're not limited. You're not limited by what you know. You're not limited by what you see. You're not limited by what you've done. You're not at all limited by that. Of course, look, I don't want to get into this whole thing, but this goes back to the whole mistaken notion that drugs will lead you to the entire capacity of your mind, which is the utter ridiculously opposite of what the truth is. Drugs limit your mind. They distort what you can do. They make you think that you can do these things when you can't. And that's why a lot of fools, for example, went on LSD and they thought they were communing with a gorilla and they go into a gorilla cage in a zoo and get killed by the gorilla. It's happened many times. Because drugs distort your reality. They don't expand your consciousness. Drugs distort your consciousness. They do not expand your mind. The 60s were mistaken on that. I mean, it was very noble in its reach, but it didn't go where it wanted. It didn't take people where they were supposed to go. There were still people wandering around the streets of Berkeley blowing bubbles who took too much acid. Well, that finishes another great broadcast week for me. Here on the East Coast, it's almost 6 o'clock. And right after I'm through, I'll tell you where I'm going. Yeah, and it's a vodka not owned by Trump. This is the Savage Nation. See you next week in California. Thanks for being here.